Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Well, since Frank Sinatra's heyday, we've become used to the idea of hopping on a plane for business or pleasure. And now one of Europe's biggest budget airlines has grand plans to tempt more people to fly across the Atlantic. Norwegian Air Shuttle has just launched flights from London to Los Angeles at about half the cost of rivals. Services to New York and Florida will follow in the next few days. Norwegian's chief executive is Bjorn Kjos. He believes increased competition will make transatlantic flights more affordable to more people.
If we can have more airlines flying over the Atlantic and to everywhere else, then all people can afford to fly. Actually, our philosophy is affordable fares for everybody. Not everybody can get the affordable fares today, so we definitely welcome competition and definitely from other low-cost carriers.
If he's right, it'll mean more planes in the air. That's a controversial prospect for environmentalists and many people who live near airports. Here in Britain, there's a heated debate about the wisdom of airport expansion. One option is to add another runway at Heathrow. The BBC's Stephanie McGovern asked its chief executive, John Holland Kay, if Heathrow really needed to grow.
It does, and it needs to expand for the British economy. Heathrow is at the heart of British economy as a global trading nation. And we need to connect to where all the growth is in the world, distant markets, Asia, North and South America. That's where the growth is. And unless we have the capacity at Heathrow, our leading hub, we won't be able to get people directly to those markets. Instead, we'll have to fly to Paris or Frankfurt to do that. That's helping the French and German economies at the cost to the British economy. Our plan allows us to expand Heathrow and connect all of Britain to global growth, but to do that within our sustainable climate change requirements. The Chinese Premier came to the UK with three requests, one of which was to expand Heathrow because it's so important for Chinese-British relations from a trade and a social point of view that we have closer links to China. We are losing that race today to the French and the Germans.
Heathrow Chief Executive John Holland Kay. So is there a sound financial argument for expanding airport capacity in Britain? I asked the economist Roger Bootle.
It is quite well connected to the world, but frankly not as well connected as it probably should be, given the rise of the emerging markets. If you look at, for instance, direct flights from London airports to various Chinese cities, this isn't a really impressive roster. And you've got to have that sort of availability to fly directly in order to be able to compete.
So you would say there's a direct link, would you, between boosting overseas trade and putting more planes in the sky?
Yeah, I think it makes a pretty huge difference. If business people from Asia can't get to the UK directly, they have to go via Germany or France or Holland or whatever, this in the end is going to be quite a business disadvantage. As economies get bigger and the world economy is growing quite a lot, I'm afraid the demand for air travel is rising quite considerably, and we're either going to meet that or we're not. And if we don't, that's a choice we have to make. If we don't, then there'll be a price to be paid.
Although on the demand side, I mean, demand in the UK is still lower. I think the number of passengers at British airports last year was, in fact, 5% lower than it was in 2007. And they ask, well, aren't we being a bit too over-optimistic when we make these forecasts about ballooning demand? What do you think about that?
Well, of course, UK output is still actually below where it was at the time of the onset of the recession. We've been through an amazing downturn. So I think comparing the position now with what it was a few years ago is not really a particularly sensible thing to do. You've got to imagine that over the next 10, 20, 30 years, the UK economy is going to be growing by 2 or 3% or so. And as it does so, then the demand for air travel will surely rise.
I can understand the argument for bringing more people to the UK from China or sending more business executives out to China and new markets in Asia and South America. But if you're trying to be a hub airport, as I think Heathrow, the main London airport, is trying to be, does that really bring a lot of money into the host country if passengers are simply using it to change planes? They don't really spend much in the local economy, do they?
The fact of the matter is that because Heathrow is a hub, British business gets some pretty big advantages from that. And of course, tourists also get an advantage from it as well. You've got to look at the detail. It's very important, I think, to price this properly. There's no point in just letting anyone fly in with no charge, as it were, just to get your throughput up, that's useless. But other things equal, I think it does count quite a lot to have a hub in your country.
I suppose there are always going to be people who say, look, aren't airports a bit old technology? Business people in particular should be making better use of newer technology like video conferencing and should simply be flying less.
I think there is a sense in which a lot of people fly too much in the business world. But, you know, a country like Britain can't dictate these trends. I think the key thing is, you know, if we want to earn a living in this world, we can't unilaterally decide to eat brown rice and wear sandals and say no to the competitive business world. You know, we've got to live in the world as it is. And as it is at the moment, business people do want to fly a lot.
Roger Bootle, Managing Director of Capital Economics. To others, though, forecasts about the fast future growth in demand for air travel are way too optimistic. The environmental campaigner George Monbiot believes governments everywhere have been too keen to build new runways at vast expense to taxpayers, local residents and the planet. I asked him if there was ever an economic case for airport expansion.
During the great takeoff phase of airport expansion, for the sort of 40 years or so from 1950, there obviously was an economic case for it, and people did relatively well out of that, and the expansion continued and continued. But we've now got a situation in the rich nations where the demand forecasts which the Department for Transport has made have just collapsed one after another. We've actually seen business flights fall significantly. We've seen the passenger flights fail to rise. And there's a danger that we can end up building ghost airports for ghost planes.
But Roger Bootle made the point there. He said, look, these economies are recovering. We've had a pretty devastating recession in many countries around the world. And you've got to plan for what happens when economies recover. Mm.
The first thing that got cut during the recession was business flights. And the reason for that was that they actually weren't all that important. And increasingly, we now see people using video conferencing and other technologies to do what they previously did by hoisting 180 pounds of human being into the air for 30,000 feet and flinging it 4,000 miles across the Atlantic.
But there is
it
a limit, isn't there?
To
there's
do
a,
that.
Yeah, but there's a limit to what that kind of technology can do, video conferencing. I mean, a lot of business has to be done face-to-face, doesn't it? Particularly in many cultures, I'm thinking, in Asia, for example. And these are the places in the world that people are saying the West is going to have to learn to do business with better.
People say, oh, you know, how are we going to get enough flights to Beijing or Shanghai, for example? Well, there's 600-odd flights from London Heathrow to Shanghai and Beijing every year, and 3,500 to Hong Kong. In other words, the airlines are actually choosing to go to Hong Kong rather than to those other cities. Now, if they wanted to emphasise those cities, they would do so, but they recognise that the major link between Britain and China is not with Shanghai and Beijing, it's with Hong Kong. It's not constrained by airport capacity, it's constrained by existing commercial calculus.
At the same time, though, there is a huge groundswell of business opinion which is saying, look, we need expansion. I'm thinking particularly in the southeast of England. More than 100 businesses are supporting a campaign called Let Britain Fly, which is pressing for an airport expansion at Heathrow, the main airport. Are you telling all these people, look, I know more about your business than you do?
Well, of course, many of these businesses have got a stake in building more airport capacity. And, you know, for an awful lot of development projects, the main purpose of the development has been discharged when the thing's actually been built, because it's provided very lucrative contracts for the builders. And then, of course, you have continued lucrative contracts for all the businesses associated with the airport. But that doesn't mean that they're good for the country as a whole. You know, what we see is that aeroplanes are tubes through which money is sucked into other countries. Our tourism deficit is about £13 billion a year. And the more we expand airport capacity, the worse that tourism deficit becomes and the more money is sucked out of the country.
That's a leisure argument, isn't it? When it comes to business travel, though, there are new markets in South America, in China and the rest of Asia where, you know, links need to be improved with the West, don't they? You can't bicycle across to Shanghai to do business, can you?
Well, look, the great majority of flights out of Britain are actually for leisure rather than for business, and it's a business component which has fallen far faster than the rate of growth has fallen in the economy as a whole. And it's a business component which is most likely to be replaced by new technologies.
But come off it, you must have to travel around the world with your conference and speaking engagements. You don't go by rickshaw or bicycle or on foot, do you? Surely you fly.
No, I don't. I mean, well, I've flown 3 times in the last 15 years. I hardly fly at all. I speak all over the world, but I do so from my own room, or indeed through media like the one that we're using right now, where I'm talking to you remotely from somewhere else, and it's clear as a bell. And my business is communication.
The environmentalist George Monbiot, a virtual globetrotter.